Hello and welcome to Leaning Into Light's featured interview for May 2018. This interview is called The Geography of Being Open. I'm Jessica Rios, the founder of Leaning Into Light, and this is one of our free monthly recordings to support you, our listeners, to lean into light. What does that mean? Leaning into light means to recover from fear, from pain, from what we might call negative emotions or experiences, to choose love, joy, to choose to feel good over and over again. That is leaning into light. And these monthly free recordings, these interviews, are a gift that we offer to support humanity to lean into light. We know a lot of people enjoy them, and we hope that you are one of them. If somebody you care about comes to mind as you listen to this, share it, please, especially on social media, because we are taking a break from social media for a while. And so for now, just grab a pen, pause the recording if you need to, and if something strikes you in the middle of this interview, you can take a note for yourself. We will be offering tools and inquiries during this conversation, so be ready. All right, I would like to welcome today's very special guest, Grace Boda. Welcome, Grace.
Thank you. It's a delight.
And I want to share a little bit about you, Grace, for our listeners. So Grace Boda is the founder of the Center for Vital Partnership. She is an accomplished executive coach. She's a mediator, a facilitator, and a thought partner to leaders in organizations. And she's a coach and a guide to individuals seeking clarity, purpose, and meaning as they navigate their lives and relationships. And so I want to share a bit more on a personal level, because that is impressive and amazing, and Grace, you are all that. And I want to share with listeners why I wanted to interview you and how we met. So that's cool with you?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So Grace, you and I were in a coaching course, and I just remember, I don't have really specific memories, but I remember a vision. We were in a break, and one of us was like laying on a bench, just lounging, kind of letting.
That was you. I remember.
Okay. Letting all the stuff, you know, the intensity of a really transformative course just spill out. And we interacted, and I remember in the first moment I saw you and interacted with you, it was a very clear spark of connection, and I saw so much light in your being. And it said that, you know, we can get a really clear sense of people within 5 seconds. That moment was proof of that for me, meeting you. And over the course of the last 10 or so years, we've become dear friends and stayed in touch, and you've been a really, really supportive and inspiring person on my path. Somebody who is like a mentor and a big sister and a muse and all kinds of things that I wish everyone had. And I'm just deeply in love with you on a soul level, and so delighted to have you here today to share a bit about your wisdom and your work.
Thank you. It's entirely mutual. You've been such a blessing for me too.
Thanks, Grace. And I also want to share with listeners that Grace just got back from a trip to India. So I just love knowing that the wisdom of the East is coming, you know, through Grace right now in a unique way. And I think that's really helpful for people in the West. So there's that. So for an opening story, I want to invite you, Grace, to share a story that you shared with me that I think is really a really fascinating story. It's the story of when you were 6 on the playground. Would you be willing to share that?
Yes, of course. This is a story that's really important to me. It's one that has been so formative, as I shared with you. So this story, as Jess said, is about being 6 years old. I was in the first grade and just having kind of an everyday first grade moment, playing out on the field at recess in my elementary school, and the grass had been newly mown. And so, you know, all the kids would take all the grass clippings and shove them all together to make these enormous bird nests. And then they would, you know, play birds, you know, pretending to be birds out on the lawn. And because I was always the smallest person in my class, my job was to be the baby bird, which meant basically just parking myself in the nest while all the other quote unquote birds flitted around finding food and worms and such. So this was a moment where on this particular day, I was just sitting in the nest, kind of daydreaming, being my little baby bird self. And out of the blue, I had the most powerful experience where it was as if suddenly my body just disappeared and I felt myself as if I were distributed through the entire universe, as though I was a part of absolutely everything. And the everything that I was pure love, just the most incredible, brilliant light and love. It was an enormously transformative experience in that moment of experiencing myself as, you know, as everything. I knew that I was being asked a question. And while I wasn't able to articulate in words, because this wasn't a verbal experience, what the question was, I knew with absolutely every cell of my being, every molecule of me was just the most enthusiastic yes in response to this question. And in the instant that I knew that yes, I felt, you know, this may not have taken more than a flash. I don't know how long it was, but I felt myself snap back into the awareness of my body, into being back on that playground and the smell of the newly cut lawn and the sound of the kids playing around me. And even at 6 years old, I knew that I would never be the same. And I knew that I would always, always, always listen and be aware of whatever it was that had captured me, that had asked me that question. And this really set the course in a profound way for the rest of my life.
Wow. I'm sort of letting chills, there are chills on my arms and I'm letting them kind of simmer down a little. You know, it's like, I'm rather speechless, and yet I know listeners aren't calling to listen to silence. So the openness that you have in you, that you had in you, I'm struck at such a young age to having that kind of experience. It isn't an experience that a lot of people have, at least people who I know. A lot of people haven't had experiences like that as a child or at all in their lives. And it's clear you were in a space of being receptive. You were open to that. There was no resistance in you to it. You weren't scared. You were open. You were 100% yes, like you said. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of something you said, and you're the first person who's ever brought this up in the years that I've been had leaning into light. Nobody said this yet until you did recently, and that is, it's like light leaning into me.
That's absolutely how I experience it, Jess. That, you know, I think there's this sense that we get that we have to somehow try hard or reach for or strive to connect with, you know, everything that we mean by light, all the goodness that we mean by that. And my experience has been that light is constantly reaching and leaning for us. And that really, you know, like the 6-year-old experience says, it's really just about a moment of openness, just like a crack in the door, and it comes rushing in with just no effort on our part. So that's why I love the title of your blog. And I loved when that came to us in our conversation. Wait, it's like light leaning towards me. So true.
It's really beautiful. There's a whole universe in there to explore. Light, you said light is constantly reaching for us. I think for some of us, that's, right. I guess it is, huh? You know, we're all over the map in terms of how that sounds. You know, there's some people who might think, no way, that's not true at all. And some of us who might, oh, I want to believe that. And, you know, and you who really, you really stand in a place of knowing that light is constantly reaching for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for that reminder. It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Grace, what would you say to someone who's never had experiences like this who would like to?
Mm. You know, each of our lives is so unique. I don't know that any of us have experiences exactly like anyone else. So I think regardless of whether a person has an experience like what I just described on the, you know, at 6 years old on a playground or something else, I think probably the longing you're speaking to is to experience what I would call something transcendent, something that goes beyond the limitations of our everyday conceptions of ourselves, you know, our limited sort of ideas of who we are. That experience then when I was six, and many experiences I've had since then, are, I would say, are really experiences of being in communion with something that's larger than what I normally think of as my being. Mm. You know, and some people talk about this as, you know, being in connection with God or spirit or life or a higher self, or, you know, there's a, you know, as many ways to think of it as there are those of us thinking about it. But I think the essence of it is being in communion with something larger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think what I would say about it along the lines of that, it's always here reaching for us, is, you know, sometimes it happens in a big sort of crashing, attention getting way, like I just described. And even more often for me as well, it happens in, you know, sort of more gentle and understated ways. So I'd like to give an example of maybe a more everyday way that it shows up.
Okay. Wonderful.
I thought of this yesterday when I was walking towards my front door. There's a big jasmine flower bush it's springtime now, so it's blooming like crazy. And you can smell these jasmine flowers way out from the street, you know, 30 yards away from my front door. Their aroma is so sweet and so strong. And it dawned on me that as people approach my front door, those jasmine flowers don't turn off the scent. When some people come by and then turn it on when other people come by, they just exude that scent all the time without, you know, without ever wavering. And that's sort of what the experience is for me of this, you know, I think of it as grace, this unmerited, unearned, unworked for gift that's just blessing us all the time. And so kind of an everyday way that this shows up, I'm thinking of a time, this was some years ago, in a particularly challenging time in my life where there were some difficult circumstances going on for me. And I was just walking towards an office building for an appointment here near my home in Walnut Creek. I think it was like a tax appointment or something. I'm just walking sort of lost in my own thoughts, you know, whatever I'm musing about my struggles and challenges at the time, towards this office building. And it was a spring day like today, and a little breeze was blowing. And as I was walking along, lost in my own thoughts, the breeze blew a little harder just as I passed underneath a tree that was in blossom. And the breeze sent a shower, just a cascade of the most beautiful, delicate little pink blossoms raining down onto my shoulders and my chest and my face. And I just experienced it like a caress from life. It felt like in the midst of my sorrow and anxiety and struggle, life just reached out and gave me the gentlest little kiss on the cheek. And I received it with this enormous smile. I felt like it just interrupted all the drama and struggle I was in the middle of, you know, in my own head, and reminded me of the generosity and the sweetness of life. So that's an example of just an everyday experience where I feel like light, whatever that means to you, is reaching out for us all the time without regard for who we are, what's going on, just because it's the nature of it to reach.
Yep. That's a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing. And I, you know, the smell of the jasmine flowers, for those of us who know that smell, and I can just almost feel the pink blossoms, you know, landing on my eyebrows, and how sweet that is. And yet I know that there are times when something that extraordinary happens. It's simple, but it's also extraordinary to walk by and smell the potent beauty of a flower like jasmine, or to be, you know, danced upon by dozens and dozens and hundreds of pink petals. You know, those are extraordinary and simple kind of at the same time. And sometimes we're open to really stopping and allowing ourselves to do what you did, which is to let the struggles go away and just to say, that was so wonderful. And sometimes we don't even notice. Sometimes we might even be in the perspective of that stupid tree, you know, falling on me. Why did it have to fall on me? It messed up my hair, or it fell in my bag and now I have to clean out my bag, or whatever it is. You know, we can really, the perspective that we're in, the mindset, how open we are, really plays a big role. And it reminds me of Byron Katie, the author, who wrote a book called Loving What Is. And I really recommend that book to listeners, Loving What Is. About, she says, a friendly universe. It is a friendly universe. And that's really just a perspective she's choosing. We could argue it is or it isn't a friendly universe. Well, how is the universe friendly if there's war? But it's a perspective that she chooses, that you choose. So I want to share with listeners a practice, an inquiry around this area to help you listeners become available, to become open, to move more into this perspective of a friendly universe. And that is just a very simple, everyday statement. You could write it with lipstick on your mirror, your bathroom mirror. You could write it on a post-it note and put it in your car or on the back of your cell phone with a Sharpie. However it is, just to remind yourself on a daily basis, it's a friendly universe. I am open. I am available. Whatever words resonate with you, just to write it down. The power of writing things down is quite noted to make a big difference in actually improving your, you know, whatever you're writing down becomes more real. So a practice there. So when you talk, Grace, about, you know, this experience you had as a little girl in the bird's nest, oh, how precious. And the experience of the pink blossoms and just the way that you notice your jasmine, you know, bush outside your house. This way of being open that you, that you embody. Why does it matter? And what's possible when we're in this state of mind?
You know, I want to say it changes everything. You know, it's when you're talking about perspectives. What I would say, I think I said this to you when we spoke earlier, that when we believe, when we hold the perspective that we're alone in a hostile universe and we have to rely on just our individual personal ego and personality strategies to manage everything going on around us, you know, it's terrifying because really those strategies are never enough. The world and its demands are always bigger than any of us individually can fathom or meet. And so it brings along with it just a level of, you know, whether it's, you know, really conscious and present or running in the background, there's just some level of constant stress and anxiety and overwhelm, which the circumstances of our lives often make even worse. So we carry that with us into all of our experiences, and it flavors how we perceive and understand everything that happens to us. But when we feel always accompanied and loved in this friendly, supportive universe, when we're tapped into this, you know, what I keep calling grace, this kind of pouring forth of love and help and wisdom, then we actually begin to pull from a deeper well, from the abundance of our being and from the abundance of a being even larger than ourselves, and to feel so much more resourced, so much more joyful. And we bring an entirely different set of experiences, not just to ourselves and our own lives, but you've probably met, probably everybody has run into at some point in their lives, some person, could be any random person, the barista at the coffee shop or the janitor at your school or, you know, really anybody, but a person whose presence is so radiant and so joyful that it lifts you up, that it affects you in a way that has you go about the rest of your day or the rest of your morning in an entirely different way. And so the other thing it makes possible is when each of us are coming from that kind of radiant, joyful, assured place, it's like a a happy virus. It sort of spreads contagion in a really positive way. It affects everyone that we meet, and when they're uplifted, they affect everyone they meet. And I just think it's a really powerful way to create widespread shifts. It also makes everything that we do seem easier. People say that to me all the time, that, wow, Grace, you know, when you're around, everything goes easier. And I think that's because I'm pulling from this deep well that I'm talking about, bringing a sense of joy and assurance to people that's just contagious, that makes life easier and more joyful.
So convincing. I mean, you just, the way that your voice conveys what you're talking about, it's so clear that you're up to this and that you're doing this. And so because of what you talk about, the contagious thing, and I'm with you right now, and I've gotten to be with you before because we're dear friends, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the joy that you exude, because it is contagious. And I know that you share it with a lot more people. So thank you so much for being how you are.
Oh, believe me, it's a pleasure. And you know, the thing is, this costs us absolutely nothing but our preoccupation with struggle and fear. That's another thing I want to say, is when you're talking about being open, being available to this, you know, and how does that happen? You know, it really is just a simple act of choosing what we give our attention to. So that moment when I was walking into my tax appointment, you know, preoccupied with whatever was on my mind, I was busy giving my attention to struggle and anxiety and fear and whatever else was going on. And when that beautiful shower of pink blossoms interrupted me and sort of redirected me, I had the opportunity. It was like just a little wake-up call. It gave me the opportunity to make a different choice about where I give my attention. And we can do that in any moment. So any moment that we want to give our attention to, I love how you call it light, to the positivity, the joy, the abundance, the love that's around us in every situation. And it's always there. It is always there if we're willing to see it. It's just that simple.
Yep. What a friendly universe, truly. Mm-hmm. It is, like you say, when we choose to see that. And I want to give listeners a practice, or actually it's an inquiry, this one. And so just in this moment, as you're listening to Grace talk about her experiences and her perspectives, which are so, for me, so refreshing, they offer such an invitation to be relieved of so much of the struggle that life can present. In this moment, I invite you to look. So just with a soft focus, you can even close your eyes, just gently notice how much in your life you feel like you give attention to things that really feel good, that feel freeing, that feel delightful. How much do you give it your attention to it being a friendly universe? To you knowing that you're loved and supported and you're appreciated and respected and you're beautiful and you're strong. How much do you give attention to those things compared to the tough stuff? Life is hard. I'm alone. I'll never get there. All that heavy stuff. On a scale of 1 to 10, so 0 is you're dead, and you're not dead, you're hearing me. So 1 is you give attention to that hard stuff a lot. And 10 is, wow, I totally rock. Why am I even listening to this? I am such a Jedi of focusing on amazing things. Where do you land on that scale of 1 to 10? So just take a moment to notice. There's no right or wrong answer. And then with your attention, whatever that number is that you just came up with, what one thing could you do to move yourself closer to a 10? So if you wanted to be closer to a 10 tomorrow, what one thing, little thing, could you do to move yourself closer to that? Whatever came to mind, that's the right answer. And if nothing came to mind, you can sit with the inquiry. I do encourage you to be simple and gentle with yourself and allowing yourself to move closer to a 10. So I'm going to just take a pause here to share, in case some of you are driving to work or taking a train or getting ready to swim laps or whatever you're doing. If you need to push pause or stop the recording before you go, I want to share, again, we're doing our monthly interview for Leaning Into Light, and this conversation is called The Geography of Being Open, and I'm interviewing Grace Boda. And for those of you who want to get in touch with Grace, you can send her an email at grace@vital-partner.com. So that's grace@vital-partner.com. So Grace, moving on, I'm wondering as you talk, so you talk about being open and you talk about, you know, you really more radiate, you put out such a beautiful presence of light and openness. And I wonder, you know, well, you said, you know, when I said, why does this matter? You said it changes everything. And then you went into such a beautiful share about how this improves life. How about that one unique gift? You know, when we hear everyone has one unique gift, one big gift that they're here in this world to share, is that something that comes out when we're open like this?
Well, I guess my first thing I'm noticing is I think we have unlimited gifts. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd even call it one, but what I do think this. You know, we're playing with the word light. This light that I'm saying we can be open and available to, I believe that is the stuff that we're all made of, that this essence of beauty and love and wisdom and all of that is the very substance of what we're made of, and that it shines, as it were, through the prism of each of our own lives and personalities and circumstances and beliefs and, you know, everything else. And so maybe what you're getting at is sort of as this, you know, beautiful, I would call it divine substance, shines through the prism of our own lives, it's going to take on a form, a specific kind of form that is the contribution, the unique contribution that each of us makes to wherever we are in any moment. Mm-hmm. So I think you could think of that as sort of the unique gifts or the ways that it shines through.
It's like this light comes through us and then it crystallizes. It comes into something because mm-hmm. in the moment you might be at a coffee shop and you might be interacting with an elderly man and he might have dropped something. And in that moment, your divine light wants to come through as picking it up for him and smiling at him in a way mm-hmm. that he might not have been smiled at in a long time. And you know, he might think you're pretty and he might sort of get a spark in his step and his 80-year-old step. And, you know, I just get so delighted about delighting elders because they've given so much. So yeah, in the moment, I love that. Unlimited gifts, not just one.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I'm thinking when I say it shines through the prism of our own individual lives, you know, we all have experiences in our lives. Some of them were difficult and some of them were joyful, and all of them form us in some ways. They form the beliefs we hold about ourselves and other people in the world. And, you know, so all of these, you know, people talk about that as consciousness, sort of the sum total of the lens through which we see the world or how we understand and then respond to the world. And so, you know, we have the opportunity to adjust that prism. So, you know, when I find that I'm holding a belief that's not serving me, you know, that's causing maybe too much filtering on that light as it comes through me, or maybe there's a distortion on that light, I find myself responding in ways that are more limited or not as generous maybe as they could be. I have the opportunity to notice that and to adjust my own prism so that light can come through me even more unfiltered, even more pure. And I think that's where we get to experience the real blessing of another person's presence, like an undiluted, undistorted, clear, vibrant presence.
Okay, so you're saying when we notice that we're having a belief that's getting in the way, change our mind about this belief?
Yeah, I think, you know, taking a searching look at that and noticing when I'm holding some belief that's not necessarily true, but that's distorting my expression in this life. So, mm-hmm. for example, if I hold the belief, my physical needs will not be tended to. Maybe I learned that early in my life. You know, people can't be relied on to take care of my physical needs. We have all kinds of, you know, all of us experience all kinds of disappointments early in our life because humans are humans and, you know, nobody's meeting our needs perfectly. And so maybe I grew up with that belief. My physical needs are not going to be cared for. If I continue to hold that belief, however unconsciously, as I go about my life, then I'm going to be experiencing all the goodness that comes to me through the lens of, you know, I'm not going to be cared for. My needs won't be met. And then I'm going to create more experiences of fear and scarcity and lack. And I'm going to respond defensively and maybe hoarding what I have and, you know, maybe competing with somebody else to get what I think there isn't enough of. So it's going to flavor all the ways that I experience life and how I behave. Whereas if I can dispel that belief, if I can see life more clearly and understand the generosity and the abundance here, that isn't necessarily about, you know, my capacity to manage and control and make everything happen, because that is limited. But just the, by virtue of my existence here, life is happy to support me. And it may look different than I'm used to having it look, but as I clear that limited belief and start seeing the abundance and the friendliness, as you're saying, of the world, I begin to behave in a more generous and loving way. And I experience small things like those petals dropping on me as an act of abundance. Look, you know, like, look how life is blessing me and taking care of my needs right now. So it's just, it's another one of those. It just changes everything. So we broaden our prism and the light shines more clearly.
Yep. So since you've shared such a gorgeous practice that's been so helpful for you, and I know for a lot of people, I want to invite listeners who are with us to look at your life. Take a moment now and just look at the areas of your life, work, relationship, your physical health, your spiritual health, you know, where you live, all the areas of your life, your art, your creative expression, and notice where you might have a belief that's holding you back. And so basically it's going to be a belief in scarcity. It's going to be a belief in lack, like, you know, I'm not enough. I'm never going to meet a partner who I really like, or I don't have enough money and I probably never will, or something like that. Just kind of scan your life and notice where you have a limiting belief and make a commitment right now. It's an invitation. It's not a command, of course, but for your own good, make a commitment to shifting that belief a little bit at a time or dramatically, because ultimately you too can experience a friendly universe. And Grace, you're living proof of that. So will you share an experience, Grace, in your life where you felt guided, where you felt like you were receiving guidance from something larger than you?
And I appreciate that you asked this. I remember sharing with you earlier that, you know, one of the ways this, you know, I'm calling it like a connection to this deep well, this deep river inside me is, it feels like, for me, that it also provides me with what I think of as an inner teacher, you know, sort of like access to a wisdom that's coming from a place beyond my sort of normal, everyday, rational, left-brain, you know, intellect. It's just way smarter than that. So, an example, just, this just happened yesterday. I was... This happens all the time, but here's one that just happened. Yes. I'm driving along in my car, you know, just getting from one errand to the other between the grocery store and the dry cleaner or something like that. And sort of in my daydreaming, driving along mode, not thinking of anything in particular. And then bam, I'm interrupted by a really strong, I experienced this very visually impression of and the most powerful, beautiful river of like loving energy flowing through my heart towards a person I work with that I have been somewhat frustrated with lately and disappointed in. And this just blew me away. I laughed out loud at this because it completely reversed and turned inside out the perspective I'd been holding about this person. because I'd been sort of disappointed and frustrated, I'd been seeing this interaction as one where I wasn't getting what I needed and this person wasn't being what he was supposed to be. And, you know, I had all these complaints and judgments about it. And just in that moment, you know, that daydreamy state is one where I'm accessible or I'm available to that higher wisdom. So in that daydreamy state, I feel like I was just shown a different perspective that rather than viewing this relationship as, you know, why am I not getting what I need and want from this person? It enables me to step into a completely different role. How can I be a conduit? It's not me loving him. This is not a personal relationship, but a professional one. It's not me loving him in the emotional way. It's me being a conduit for the loving energy that is the essence of who we all are in a generous and benevolent way, in a way that allows me to bless him. And then I realize as I show up with him in a more generous way, just open to the love that flows through all of us, I will, without any effort at all, be lifting him up and giving him the kind of sustenance that enables him, that gives him a foot up and allows him to be more easily the kind of person that I know he really wants to be. So in the end, it helps all of us. But that was not a perspective that I was coming to from my regular, I have to admit, from my regular kind of linear, you know, normal everyday way of thinking about things. I was busy evaluating. He's supposed to be doing X, Y, Z, and he's not doing those things. And, you know, that's not what we agreed to. And so I was just filled with judgment and ego strategies for managing this relationship and getting what I thought was supposed to happen. And this was just a complete shift. And I experienced it as an enormous opening. Like I just felt the whole thing break open to so much ease. And this is the kind of, this is what I mean by guidance. This just sort of sudden interrupting flash of a bigger perspective, something that just loosens it all up and makes it all easier.
Mm. And you know, the last thing you or I would want in this moment, right, is for someone who's listening to think that just won't happen for me.
Mm.
That just doesn't happen for me, right? That's, it's so sad to think of that possibility, mm-hmm. right? So in order to affirm that, you know, listeners, this actually can happen for anyone. Guidance is universal. It's vast. It's within all of us. It's available. You know, I'm just curious, Grace, because you have had a lifetime of this beautiful way of openness that is not super common. You know, this isn't a conversation you hear every day on TV and you see billboards about. So did you, before this happened, when you were driving in your car and you had this moment of guidance, did you have any conscious effort? Like, did you say, I want to open up in this situation? I want to see from a different perspective. Is there anything you did to bring this on? Or was it just your openness?
You know, that's a great question because, you know, I'm talking about this, you know, I've called it light or grace or life or whatever you call this unending sort of generous flow of wisdom and love and all of that. And I'm likening it to those jasmine flowers on my porch that they don't close up for some people and open up for others. It's just the nature to give, right? So it's always there. And I wouldn't say that it's not true that in the moment right before this happened, I asked for anything. I was just driving along daydreaming about my dry cleaning or whatever I was doing. But I would say that there is a discipline that goes hand in hand with grace. So it's a two-way street. On the one hand, there's the constant giving of this, you know, I've used that word grace as an unearned gift, something we don't have to work for. It's just given because it's the nature of life. It's the nature of the life that we're part of, that we partake in, to be constantly sending this flow of everything that we need towards us. And then our part is the discipline of availability, the discipline of receptivity. And I call it a discipline because it's not something that you do once and get an answer to. It's a way of life. It's a way of training ourselves and our attention. You know, as saying before, you know, we have a choice all the time what we give our attention to. So the discipline part is, you know, if we're not aware and awake and paying attention, our attention can feel like it gets captured. You know, it feels like it happens to us. Like, oh, well, this dramatic thing happened in my life. So, of course, you know, now I'm obsessed with that or I'm preoccupied with this fear or that worry. It feels like our attention is out of our control, that it just gets snagged by all kinds of things in life. Mm. And that's actually not true. We are the masters of our own attention. No one but us decides, each of us decides what we pay attention to. So there is a discipline of paying attention to our attention, of being aware of what I attend to, that for me, because I was gifted with this experience at a very young age where I was shown in a really remarkable way that there is something more to me. There's something more to all of us than the things we're, you know, we're so deeply conditioned to believe that I am my body. I am this 5 foot two thing that walks around in the world, or I am my mind. I'm all these thoughts I think in my intellect, or I am the groups I belong to, or I am the roles that I play. I'm a mother or a professional. And all of that is so limited that part of the discipline, I think, is to noticing all of those limitations and to constantly being aware of what we choose to believe, what we choose to pay attention to, and inviting ourselves back into an open, receptive place. And because that's a lifestyle for me, that's a 24/7 practice. I think that's why when you talk to me, you think like, wow, but you're having experiences not everybody has. I'm just having experiences anyone can have any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that discipline, that lifestyle of receptivity and openness.
Yeah. A way of life. That's the mm-hmm. discipline of receptivity. No professional soccer player becomes professional after a day of practicing soccer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, back to a friendly universe. We're the masters of our own attention. You've mentioned it several times now, so we got to go here. So mm-hmm. Grace happens to be your name.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's quite appropriate. And you said something about an unearned gift. Grace, an unearned gift. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I also really love that Grace is my name. Every time someone calls my name, even if it's, you know, like the person in the coffee shop just letting me know my tea is ready, when they call my name, my whole body just reverberates with the beauty of this idea of what grace really is. And, you know, over the years of having this name, it has unfolded its meanings to me in many ways, and it continues to do that. But there are two aspects of what the word grace means that really mean a lot to me. And one is the one that you just called out. And I learned this as a young child being raised in the Catholic Church, that grace in that tradition or in the Christian tradition means a divine gift that is given to us freely and abundantly without any need to earn or deserve or work for it. It's just the nature of the divine to give. And so there's that meaning of grace, which I experience in my life because of my receptivity to it, just the ongoing flow and generosity of life, of this universe. And then the other meaning of grace that I also really deeply love is the word in a more traditional sense means to honor someone or something with your presence. And I see that as the natural, it's like call and response. The more aware I am of the loving generosity and the nature of this universe and of all of us, the more natural my response is to want to honor with my presence all of life. So there's this beautiful kind of, it's like a, you used the word a dance before, I think talking about the petals, and I see this simultaneous call and response of love, of life loving us and of us honoring life in return. And it just feeds on itself. It grows itself. When we make the choice to be in this perspective, to hold this awareness, we have, it's just so natural to respond to life with honor and reverence and presence. And because each of us is an expression of life, we find ourselves honoring and revering and being more and more open and present to each other. So you can see how this just grows a more loving community and a more wonderful humanity.
Mm, yeah, it's, you know, I think of the handful of people, and you're one of them, who are really present with me in life. And it's, as you describe, it's powerfully gracious. Mm. It's so palpably giving. And I want to be like that. You know, it's, again, I really thank you for the invitation. And I thank all the people on the planet who are committed to being that presence for others, because, you know, ultimately we want to love and be loved. And when we're seen, when somebody says, gosh, I see you, you really had a hard day, or gosh, I see you, you are so thoughtful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Sesame Street. It's really simple stuff, but we don't do it a lot. We don't do it enough. I will assert anyway, this is my world. I would love to see people showering more of this on each other, more affection, mm-hmm. more adoring words, more, I see you. And you really are paying, you know, to a little kid, you're really paying attention to how you're balancing on that tree branch. You know, it just feels so good. And actually we're really good at it with children. And then we forget when we become adults. It's like, we're not supposed to need that anymore. And we do mm-hmm. need that beautiful, gracious seeing and presence. So I want to invite listeners to take a look again. Here's another inquiry, and grab your pen if you want to write something down. Where's a place in your life where you're working hard to earn something, you know, to earn love or to earn the right to be here on this planet, to earn something that you don't need to earn? You know, where are you working super hard to earn that stuff? And just in this moment, allow yourself to relax into the knowledge that what you're working hard to earn is already yours, already here right now. How can you open to experiencing that more fully? And it's been shown time and time and time again that when we actually accept that something is already ours, then we experience it. So, you know,
Can I just interject one more? And I'm listening to you ask these questions. It's so rich. It calls to mind something that a really dear and wise friend of mine talks about, that, you know, all the things that we long for, all the things we try to, you know, we work so hard to try to make happen or create in our lives, his idea is that they all exist in our lives right now, but they're covered with a dross, you know, like I guess that's from a word he talked about, you know, refiners, you know, coal refiners, for example, that diamond that's hidden in the center of coal, the dark stuff on the outside is the dross. Mm-hmm. That all these qualities that we long for are present already in our lives because they're our very nature. Like, how could I not belong to life? I was birthed and born into this life, into this body. You know, I am life. How could I not be loved? You know, my very nature is love. Like, that's all present in the center of us. But the dross or the film that covers it is all that stuff I talked about before, the beliefs and the stories and the ideas and the self-images and the concepts that we pick up from our experiences and our conditioning. And it's all that distracts us in any moment from being able to be fully present, like you're saying, to another person. So as adults, when we meet each other, we see someone in their beauty, and inside, you know, our inner voice is saying like, oh, that person's more beautiful than me, or smarter than me, or I wish I could have that. Or, you know, this is all the stuff that distracts us and keeps us from noticing that we already are beauty, that we already are love, of being, you know, giving our attention, as we were saying before, to that deep well of perfection that's already flowing through our lives. So I think the real practice maybe for this kind of presence and for this kind of awareness and availability, the geography of availability that we were talking about, is really the capacity to quiet for however short a time we can, or however long, to be able to quiet that noise that you're not enough, there isn't enough, it isn't good enough, just to be able to quiet that long enough to notice what's here right now. And there's so many ways. Some people might do it through art, or through dance, or through meditation, or through journaling. I know you find your beautiful voice of love in writing. But there's a way in for all of us. And I think the more often that we do that, find those little ways in, the more it bleeds over into our everyday experiences until it just becomes a way of viewing the world.
So friendly, so generous, so promising.
you know, on planet Earth right now, there's a lot of grief and a lot of struggle. Mm-hmm. And what you present is such a beautiful invitation for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I also want to honor that sometimes, and this may be true for some listeners, you know, you might be in a moment of, or a year or a month of real struggle, or maybe this whole lifetime, maybe you have diabetes or something that's just seemed like a plague to you all your life. And I, you know, my heart just crumbles in this moment, actually thinking of how heavy this human experience can be. Mm-hmm. It really can be tough. And yeah, our thoughts play a huge role, but no matter why, it can be really tough. And I have so much compassion for that. And sometimes it takes pain, you know, to mm-hmm. come through. But I just want to say to people who have a story, and I do, I have a story, I'm not going to tell it right now, but of struggle, that this is the way out. This opening mm-hmm. to what you're actually made of, which is love, is the way out. And it is a choice, and you are powerful. You are a powerful creator, and Grace has had this beautiful weaving in her life story to share, that she gets to share with us. And yet, you know, Grace, you've had a lot of struggle too. So it's a choice you've made. It's a way of being, and it's available to everyone.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I really also want to say none of this diminishes the reality of the pain and hurt and suffering in the world. And I've, you know, as you're saying, just like everyone else, I've had plenty of that and lots of substantial challenges and difficult times in my life. And I think what remembering this truth makes available to us is this assurance and this grounding and the idea that there's more to it, that I always know when this is such a blessing for me that because of the experiences I've had, I always know no matter how much I'm struggling and how much my personality or ego might be grieving or having angst or being angry or, you know, whatever is going on in my experience, I know that's not all there is. And even with really, you know, there are some tough things that happen to some of us. And even in the midst of that, it's not to diminish that. It's just to say that's not all there is. Mm-mm. And even in the very center of those tough experiences, we can find these moments of rest and respite and relief when we can contact this deeper part.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just mm-hmm. reminding ourselves this is temporary. This is this moment. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Grace, for the being you are, the presence you are, the gifts you share, the openness you are, the radiance and the flower petals that shoot out of your eyeballs. You're such a gloriously uplifting person.
And oh, it's an honor. Beautiful to spend this time with you.
So listeners, I want to remind you that this has been a conversation on the geography of being open with Grace Boda. And if you want to get in touch with Grace, you can email her, grace@vital-partner.com. And I want to thank you, listeners, and acknowledge you for taking time for yourself to listen to something that can help uplift your life. Should you choose to love yourself like the jasmine flowers love you by sharing their scent with you, and like the trees love you by dropping their leaves on your head. And I also want to extend that thanks to the jasmine flowers and to all the beings on this planet that we can see and that we can't see with our eyes, who are friendly and who are supporting us. There are many, many beings mm-hmm. supporting us. So if you found this useful today, listeners, I invite you to show love by sharing this with someone who may be sitting at a desk all day or commuting long hours or just could use an uplift in their lives. Please share this with them. And note that we have these monthly interviews all on our website, leaningintolight.com, and click on the conversations page. And as you might know, we're taking a break from social media probably for a whole year. It's really exciting, and I haven't missed it for a second, so strange, but that's what we're doing. And so we don't share this stuff on social media anymore, and I would really appreciate it if you would take a moment to share on social media
about our offerings, and then just sign up for our newsletter on the homepage, again, leaningintolight.com. And I trust you've taken something beautiful for your life and your gorgeous soul, which is such a gift from this conversation today, the geography of being open. We'll see you next time. So you just push stop the recording, but don't end the call.
Okay.